But first, Annie Haswell's in the studio to discuss the latest headlines. Hi, Annie.
Hi, Sarah. We'll start with COVID. Worldwide, 112 million cases now, 63.4 million recovered and 2.49 million deaths.
And a sad milestone for the US.
Yes, the US has crossed the 500,000 threshold, and the BBC's worked out various ways to drive that statistic home, and one is that the death toll equals the total crowd from 4 days of the Coachella Music Festival, which is one of the biggest annual music gatherings in the US.
And the Biden administration is on the COVID case.
Yes, they've just announced plans to deliver more than 25 million masks to vulnerable communities at a cost of $86 million. The masks will be delivered to 1,300 community health centres and 60,000 food pantries and soup kitchens across the country.
And there's a vaccine being rolled out there as well.
We can also expect in the next couple of days that the US will approve the rollout of a single-shot Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine. It's found to be at least 86% effective, and it's a cost-effective alternative to the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, and it's also able to be stored in a refrigerator instead of a freezer.
And Israel is looking like a test case for vaccines.
Yes, Israel has managed to vaccinate more than half of its population against COVID-19 in just 5 weeks, and it's had a dramatic impact on its infection rate. It's by far the highest percentage in the world. Most of the vaccines used in Israel have come from the pharmaceutical giant Pfizer. There are some concerns, though, from advocacy groups about privacy and ethical issues, because there's a deal between Israel's health services and Pfizer to share data about people who've received the shots.
And things are starting to ease off in the UK.
Yes, reuniting families and allowing people to have more social contact will be an absolute priority when lockdown is eased and schools reopen next week. They're looking at letting two households being able to mix outdoors. And the full plan for England's lockdown easing is due to be set out this Monday.
And what's happening in Australia?
In Australia, 28,939 cases, 25,486 recovered, 909 deaths. That's been sitting at that number, thank goodness, for quite a while now. Health Minister Greg Hunt has reminded us today that while there have been over 100 million cases of COVID-19 worldwide, Australia's gone 12 days without any community transmission. And there are borders opening all over the place, including long-suffering Victorians able to cross the border again into South Australia from midnight tonight and into Queensland from 1 a.m. Saturday.
And job seekers aren't taking this week's miserly rise in their income lying down.
Yes, it's getting political, with Labor voting in support of a Greens motion to bring job seeker above poverty rates. There is some disagreement about what the poverty rate is. It could be anything between $816 to $1,100 a fortnight, and there's a fair bit of argument to go yet, but it's an interesting political move in that direction.
And unsurprisingly, the so-called win over Facebook and Google is a win for old media.
Yes, well, they'd cared a lot and they put their energy into the campaign. Almost 90% of the cash that Google and Facebook will be handing over is destined to line the pockets of News Corp, Seven West Media and Nine. These three stand to gain about $110 million of the $125 million on offer to private media from Google, and it's expected there'll be a similar split in the Facebook deals.
And coming up soon on the program, we'll be looking at a couple of instances of sacred sites being treated with disrespect by mining companies in spite of the fallout from Juukan Gorge. But a similar issue has arisen today in Tasmania.
Mining isn't an issue here, but control over a sacred site is. The sacred Wagatamina cave in southwest Tasmania is still being controlled by the state government in spite of being in Aboriginal hands. The Tasmanian Aboriginal Centre is mounting a campaign. This is the centre's Nala Mansell explaining what's at stake.
The cave has ancient Aboriginal hand stencils dating back over 15,000 years. We were successful in our fight to have that land returned to Aboriginal control in 1995, but have recently become aware that the Tasmanian Government Authority Parks and Wildlife Service have gone behind our backs and somehow taken over control of access into our sacred caves without any communication or consultation with the Aboriginal community, and we are absolutely outraged.
Nala Mansell says their issue plays into the wider issue of who owns Aboriginal sacred sites.
You know, for 200 years we've fought against white government agencies controlling our heritage and controlling our lives. This isn't just a moral issue. We are the landowners. We own that land. We are the private landowners. And they have no right whatsoever to take control of who can and can't access our sacred lands. We're looking into the possibility of having them charged with trespass for allowing their own government agencies and staff members to enter Aboriginal lands and enter our sacred caves without permission.
And finally, to a shocking story from Korea.
A new report, Blood Coal Export from North Korea, from the Citizens Alliance for North Korea Human Rights, says that generations of South Korean prisoners of war are being used as slave labour in North Korean coal mines to generate money for the regime and its weapons program. The report's authors are calling on the UN to fully investigate North Korea's dependence on slavery and forced labour, including the full extent of the extraction and illegal export of coal and other products, and the international supply chain linked to these exports, which could have a few countries worried.
Thanks, Annie.
Thanks, Sarah.